Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy.
We got an exciting week coming up.
And you don't sound as sick.
I sound less sick. I still sound a little nasally, but it's way, way, way better. I've never had bronchitis that bad before. Like, it took forever, but I feel much, much, much better.
That's good. You sound much better.
God, I hope so. So, and especially with what's coming up. I mean, obviously, Halloween is coming up, and we should all be excited about that.
Well, yeah, and we just did Halloween Day. Our house still shows all the evidence of it.
Oh, God, it's trash now. There were kids, there were adults, we were partying, and there were lots of crafts.
It was a good Halloween Day.
The glitter came out. You know things are going to get crazy when the glitter comes out.
The pumpkin seeds ended up on the living room floor.
Yeah, so thank God we have hardwood. So anyway, we survived Halloween Day. Thank goodness. But yeah, Halloween's coming up. That's exciting. But this Thursday, we're doing a live recording at Rollertown Brewing in Salina, Texas.
We're not driving to another state.
I know. It's right up the road. Not that we don't love our Floridians. Oh, you know we love you.
We love you, Emerald Republic.
But normally, yeah, when we go to Emerald Republic, it's because we've been twice now.
It's like a 10, 11-hour drive.
Yeah, something like that. This is a 20-minute, well, maybe 30-minute.
Probably 30 minutes.
It's going to be rush hour, so I'm going to call it 45 minutes. But yeah, I mean, it's just right up the road.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that. We're looking forward to being up there. And
so guess what? Y'all get another bonus episode.
Another bonus episode. And we're kicking off their Halloween event.
Yeah.
So they actually have a whole weekend of events for Halloween going on. So we'll be kicking off the festivities. Yep. So we appreciate them for having us, and we look forward to it.
Yeah, we're super excited. We've been there. It's a really cool brewery.
It is. It is. We actually had a lot of fun up there.
We did have a lot of fun. So we're ready to go back and excited about it. So if you're in the area.
Oh, yeah. If you're in the DFW area, or at least north.
Oklahoma, right? Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to. Depends on how far you want to drive. But yeah, I mean, if you're in North Dallas area, like, it shouldn't be that far.
No, yeah.
Although come join Salina us. Does, it's so funny because Salina feels really far.
But it's not.
Well, it used to be so small. Like, yeah. It was real tiny.
It's like, still pretty small.
It's still pretty small, but it's growing. They got some really cool stuff out there. Their downtown, like, square area, like, they have some events. It's really fun. It kind of reminds me of our hometown. Or not hometown, but where we live now.
I was about to say, they kind of almost rival McKinney with the downtown square. They have.
They're working on it.
McKinney's having to step up, I think, to.
I think so, too.
Compete with them.
Yeah, so they're doing good out there. So, yeah, we're excited about it. So,
come check us out there.
For sure. And that being said, we're putting our Viking hats on today, yeah?
We are.
Yeah. I feel like I need a boat. I want to sail.
Well, I get where you're going with that, but our Viking hats are based in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Not a lot of water.
Yeah, so I don't. Not a lot of water. Probably a lake, but I don't feel like a Viking boat would be the.
We can sail the open sand dunes.
I'm Flagstaff ready. Has snow, babe.
Damn it. I was so close. Well, technically, snow is water. It's just frozen. So
I mean, we could get a Viking boat and just sit on.
Dude, if after a couple shots, I will get in a boat and go down the mountain. I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right. So we're going to Flagstaff, if you couldn't figure that out. And we are going to Drinking Horn Meadery. So you guys at Drinking Horn, if you have a Viking boat for whatever reason, let us know, because Mike would really like to come ride on your boat in the snow.
Dude, we will get down on some mead, and then we will get in the boat and go down the mountain. Okay. I'm ready. But I just ask, hopefully we got a few rowing people out there so we can, you know, steer this thing, you know? Otherwise, it could be bad.
And there you have it.
Just thinking ahead. I'm just
if it happens, we will definitely take pictures and put it all over the social media.
I don't ever foresee it happening, but if it does,
I don't either. I'm just saying
it would be amazing
if it does.
Yeah. All right.
So anyway, what we're trying today is their unicorn blood. And we've said this before, but just in case you guys haven't heard our very first episode that we had mead, we didn't know what it was till we started doing this podcast.
That's true. I'd never had or heard of mead.
It's basically a honey wine that's older than beer and regular wine by like thousands of years.
It's like one of the first fermented drinks ever, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So this is like taking it back to the day.
Exactly. And this particular meadery uses raw honey from bees that collect from orange blossoms and wildflowers, which is pretty common. I think we see orange blossoms quite a bit.
Yeah.
But they don't boil their honey. They don't add any preservatives. And their mead is naturally gluten-free.
All natural.
And it's sourced from local mountaintop honey in the Flagstaff area.
How do you get honey on top of a mountain? I'm assuming it's like springtime, no snow.
So the card doesn't tell me that.
Right. But, you know, inquiring minds want to know.
I
want to know.
I don't have the answer for
how
you.
How do bees survive the snow? I want to know. I don't need an answer.
That was like a song.
Yeah. That is a fucking song. I'm going to make that. It's just curiosity. Like, I don't expect an answer, but I am curious. Like, do they hibernate? Do they whatever? Like, I don't know.
So, you know who will know? Bam Bam.
Oh, that's a good call.
Bam Bam will know.
We'll reach out to Bam Bam. She'll have the answer.
So their description of their unicorn blood is, first of all, it's 13% ABV.
Oh, yeah.
And they say no unicorns were harmed in the making of this lemon raspberry mead. This beverage started out as an experimental run, and our customers loved it so much that we had to make it available for everyone. Sparkles not included.
Okay, well, I'm glad, because I hate glitter. I can totally see how like lemon and raspberry would balance well. Yeah. So you want to give it a try?
Yeah, let's give it a try.
All right, let's do it. All right, so there's one for you. And you know what I like about all these meads? Is that they always put like the little, it reminds me of like an old style milk jug. Mm-hmm. They have the little corky thing that you can, you know.
Yeah.
With the, I don't know what you call that. Like with the wire that like clamps it on.
It's what they used to put like milk in. And it's like what my aunt makes her homemade Irish cream and Kahlua in.
Yeah, I like those bottles. Because then you can totally just reseal that.
All right. I do smell the honey.
I do. All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Ooh. I get the raspberry for sure.
I like it. I think it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Again, I think, you know, one of the things we've talked about with meads is sometimes they can be really over-honeyed. I think this has a really good balance. So you get, it's not overly sweet because I think the lemon cuts down mm-hmm. on some of the raspberry. And
you can definitely taste the honey.
Yeah, it's in there.
You can definitely taste it, but it's not like something we've had.
Yeah, you should, because it's a mead, but I think it's very well balanced. I love it.
All right, what would you give it? Because it is on Untappd.
I would 4.75. That's a really good one. I like that a lot.
Chicken. Oh, it tried to tell me this wasn't available in my area. I'm like, that's not what I was trying to do.
Well, it probably isn't. But.
Well, it's not, but I was just trying to rate it. 4.75, chicken. Untappd 12th anniversary badge and brewery pioneer level 19.
Nice.
Right. Untappd has been around for 12 years.
Is it really?
That's why I got the 12th anniversary
badge.
What
you meant to say, the app that shall not be there. Sorry. So if you're new to the show, this is kind of a running joke because we should get sponsored by Untappd because we always use it.
We do.
But then I'm like, we will not name their app because they don't sponsor us. But then I never reach out. So it's not their fault. Like, I just like to give them shit. So,
yeah. And it was his job to reach out to them.
So. I know. Well, I'm a slacker. We talked about this on like episode one.
Let all y'all know that Mike is a slacker.
Yeah.
And
so anything that I'm supposed to do will probably never happen.
Not true, because you know what? He's researching for the live event, so that will definitely happen.
Well, yes, that's true. Yeah, I have done every live event.
You have?
I have. So, hey, there's something I did. Good for me.
You've also done a two-part Patreon.
I did. Yeah, I've done some stuff.
You did more at the beginning.
I did start off doing more at the beginning, and I think work just got real busy. Mm-hmm. And
I'm a way better researcher.
Oh my God. She can literally research 8 in the time it takes me to research 1, because I'm overly thorough, and I get too caught up in all the little details.
Or discrepancies.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, one website says one date, and then I'm all over the place. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. So we're going to Flagstaff. What's our case today?
The Skinwalker murder.
Oh, you have not told me much, or I don't think you've told me anything about this other than the title. I've been waiting for this one.
It's pretty interesting, and I have some pretty fun facts.
Only because I know what a Skinwalker is, and I at least understand some of the lore, so I'm excited.
So I want you to tell me the lore before I go into the lore.
Oh, I don't know all the lore.
Well, I just want to know what you're...
So a Skinwalker is essentially kind of like a shapeshifter in Native American culture. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it's dogs or wolves or things like that, mm-hmm. but not always, is my understanding. Yeah, so not always. But I know that this is a big part of like Native American culture. I also know we watched Skinwalker Ranch, which is different. Well, it is different. That's just the name.
Yeah,
but totally different. Well, there is some thoughts that there are skinwalkers involved there as well. So, yes. So yeah,
but still different.
So I'm sure you're going to have a lot more details, but. Yeah, right. I'm looking forward to this one.
So you're almost there.
I'm almost there. I'm close.
You're close. Yeah. So, especially for being a student who hates humanities, that would never study that.
That's not true. I would totally study that.
Oh, that's the humanities class I took.
Oh, well, you took a better... No, the humanities class I took, they were like, here's a painting, and how does that make you feel? And I was like, it doesn't make me feel anything. It looks fucking stupid. And then
that's
they're like,
you don't have an appreciation for the arts.
No, I love music. I love movies. I actually love art.
Fine arts.
I disagree. I love fine arts, but just because a painting makes you feel something doesn't mean it's going to make everybody feel something.
But sometimes said no paintings make you feel anything.
Did I say that?
I'm pretty sure.
At least don't think that's if that's what I said, that's not what I meant.
That's what you have said to me.
Okay,
in
so
the past.
First of all, you and I have had many talks about like Starry Night and some of the other ones.
Oh, Starry Night's my favorite.
Yeah, there are lots of paintings that, and in fact, we went to that art gallery. I have an appreciation for art. It's just the shitty art that they were showing me. I was like, just because it makes or you want me to feel something, I have to actually be moved. To feel something. And so, what you're showing me doesn't do shit for me.
So, babe, how did Starry Night make you feel?
Super duper. Like, I don't know. Stop asking me about my feelings. Let's get onto this case. All right, you ready?
Ready. Let's do
All
it.
All right.
Okay, so first I'm going to give you some facts about Flagstaff. How much do you know about Flagstaff?
Have we ever been to Flagstaff?
I have.
No, I said if we...
No, we okay. have... No.
So if we've well, never wait. Been, then I've never been.
Maybe.
We drove up north. We saw
maybe.
The...
Maybe. That was? Might... Yeah, that might have been Flagstaff. Okay. I don't know.
So, to be honest with you, nothing. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, it is in Coconino County.
Okay. You butchered that, I'm sure, but...
C-O-C-O-N-I-N-O. Coconino.
Yeah.
I didn't butcher it.
Okay, never mind. I take it back.
Coconino County. It's in the center part of northern Arizona and about 150 miles north of Phoenix. So that probably is where we went because that's.
Yeah,
seems,
that sounds yeah. about right. Yeah.
It's also the county seat for Coconino. And Coconino is the second largest county in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
It's, wow, okay.
11,896,720 acres.
Oh, you mean by size, not by population.
Oh, yeah, by size.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Second biggest county in the entire country. Now, I did find a whole list of fun facts about Flagstaff, and I picked just a few to share with you.
Okay.
you're going to really like this one.
I'm ready. UFOs.
Pluto was discovered in Flagstaff.
Oh, nice. Hey, so for all of you out there that think that you can demote a planet, then promote it back up, and then demote it again, that's just rude, okay?
Pluto's the best fucking planet out there.
Even if it's a runt, it's a planet.
And it's still the best planet.
I mean, I don't know about the best, but it's a planet.
It's always been my favorite planet.
Pluto's always been your favorite planet? Nice. Okay, cool. So Pluto was discovered in Flagstaff. I did not know that. Did they have like an observatory there?
I think so, yeah. And so they were doing their spacey things.
Their spacey things. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, they were doing their spacey things and they discovered Pluto.
Nice.
Another fun fact. Sunset Crater Volcano is located there.
There's a volcano there?
Apparently, there are over 600 volcanoes in northern Arizona.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. Arizona just moved up in status in states. Like, because when I think of Arizona, I think Phoenix, and it's hot and deserty, and I don't like that.
Same.
But
and cactus.
Yeah. But I will say when we went up north, I was like, oh, this is like not what I would think of Arizona as. So yeah, Arizona just got moved up. Although y'all need to figure out your time zone shit. Cause like there's like one little dot on the map that doesn't do time zone changes and the others do. Like,
okay, then you got to throw Indiana in there too. Cause they have the same thing.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. They have one little city that doesn't do it or something.
Assholes. So.
And last fun fact is even still today, about 100 trains run through Flagstaff each day. Trains.
Yeah, I mean, they still exist.
Well, they do, but 100 trains a day?
I mean, that seems like a lot, but, you know, good for them. Keep that supply chain moving, right? That's how we're all going to get our toilet paper when COVID 3.0 rolls through.
Right. The lab-created COVID.
Lab-created toilet paper. That's all we're up to next.
Oh, no. Well, you know what?
I'm kidding.
We'll go to the bamboo toilet paper when COVID 3.0 hits.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Because you know what? It'll probably be cheaper than the regular toilet paper at that point.
There you go.
So, Coconino County Sheriff's Office actually started their cold case unit in 2005, which to me seemed more recent than I would have expected.
You'd think so, but despite their physical size, they're probably not at nearly as populated, I would think.
Well, so I was curious. So I was going to look up and see like who started the first one and how most of them started after this. Like,
cold case units were ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Cold case units seem to be a newer thing.
Really?
Yeah. We think of it as normal because we've done so many.
So normally they just kind of kept them open
opened
them every once in a while, but there was no unit for it. It just happened as they felt like it or whatever.
Right, exactly. Now, all the members of Coconino's unit are volunteers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But so are they police who are volunteering their time?
I'm about to tell you.
Okay, sorry. Jumping the gun.
They have a shit ton of experience. Some of them are ex-FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are DPS. Some of them have crime lab history. Some of them just have courtroom experience. And some are like CSI and even national park rangers. So they have all these volunteers.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I thought that was really kind of neat.
Well, and that actually makes sense. Like having a broad range of people, especially because every case is going to be different. Like, you know, even you think, oh, a park ranger. Well, if somebody disappears in a national park, it makes sense to have a park ranger be a part of that and to be able to give their expertise.
Well, and there's a lot of that in Arizona.
Yeah.
Especially because of the Native American population and things like that. There's a lot of that.
Oh, and
you have
size.
The Grand Canyon. And
Oh, the Grand Canyon. Whew.
That's a fucking beast for
that's people. A hike. It's a hike. It was a really cool hike, but it's a hike. She don't like heights. She's you actually killed it. You crushed it.
It wasn't worth all that work to see that tiny little waterfall.
I know. Havasu Falls. Yeah, but you did it well. You just had a really hard time on the way down. Funnily enough, I think you had a hard time on the way up.
Well, the same spot. I had a panic attack.
Yeah.
On the side of the canyon, which is probably not the.
And that's when I was just like, I'll stay on the outside. You look at the wall. We almost didn't make it out, but we did. High five.
We did better on the way out than on the way down.
True. All right.
So, obviously, I bring up the Native American culture because the murder we're talking about is the murder of Sarah, and I am going to butcher this, Sarah Sagan Itso?
Spell it.
S-A-G-A-N-I-T-S-O.
I feel like you were close. Okay. And we apologize for butchering. We do our best.
So she was a Navajo, which is... Navajo Indians are still very prominent in Arizona.
Yeah.
She was a 40-year-old Navajo woman who actually worked as a housekeeper at the Flagstaff Medical Center in June of 1987. She had actually worked for the medical center for about 17 years.
So 87 minus 17. So 70, 1970?
Yeah. So
yeah.
She'd been there for a while, and she was well known to be liked by all of her coworkers, and she actually had a 4-year-old son. Her last name, the one that I'm not entirely sure I pronounced correctly.
You did your best. You did your best.
I did my best. Saganitso means big canyon dweller in Navajo. And that's actually the name of a very famous medicine man from Tuba City, Arizona. And I tried to get some information about him, but I had a really hard time finding stuff because Navajo are pretty, they keep a lot of stuff to themselves.
Yeah. Well, and if I remember, if Flagstaff was the area that we were in, we did that kind of tour and like they built into the side of the canyon and like way up.
Yeah.
Which pretty ingenious, actually.
Yeah. No, it was really cool.
Yeah. It was super cool.
But there was this famous medicine man with the same last name, and there's nothing concrete to say that she was related to him, but most people do believe that she was.
Okay.
Now, even though she had been working at this medical center for at least 17 years, she had her first night shift ever on June 12th, 1987. But she didn't come home that night.
Her first night shift ever.
In 17 years, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
She didn't come home. And the next morning, obviously, her...
Sorry.
The next morning, obviously, her family was pretty worried about her because it wasn't like her. She's got a 4-year-old son. It's her first night shift. She doesn't come home. So they naturally go up to the medical center to see if they can find her.
Yeah.
She had last been seen about 5 minutes before her shift ended for the evening. Not long after her family got to the medical center, there was a woman discovered behind the medical center. She was badly beaten and hardly recognizable, but her family immediately knew that the woman was Sarah. They just knew.
And I'm assuming, is she already dead at this point? That sucks because, like, I mean, if you want, if you're going to get attacked, a medical center is a good place just because they can, if you're not dead, sorry.
And they know to look for you.
And they know to look for you. Then at least you're like literally right there where medical help can be provided. Unfortunately, in this case, it sounds like that wasn't the case.
Well, and this, it's a medical center. I don't believe it was like a hospital. So I don't think it was open 24 hours like a hospital is.
I guess I get confused there because, like, we have hospitals that are called medical center of blah, 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 whatever town. But yes, I see what you're
saying. So I don't think this was an actual, like, hospital with an ER. I think it was probably some sort of doctor's office that she worked at.
Gotcha.
So her face had been beaten beyond recognition. She had multiple stab wounds to her torso. When she was found, she was completely nude. And it seemed that her left breast had been bitten off.
Bitten?
Bitten off.
Bitten off.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
After her death, the Flagstaff Medical Center, I thought this was really sweet, actually set up a trust fund for her 4-year-old son to try to...
Love it. It's unfortunate circumstances, but...
Yeah.
Love it. Yep.
So, of course, they begin investigating, and the only evidence they discover is, like, this really odd stick that's lodged in her neck. and a clump of grass that appears to be from a nearby graveyard. And the clump of grass was found...
How do they know the grass was from the graveyard? You're going to tell me, aren't you?
They tested it.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, they tested it.
Science.
But...
Science but will tell you.
But the thing is, the clump of grass was found near her car in the parking lot. But here's the thing. Sarah's body was discovered on the west side of the medical center, while her pickup truck was discovered on the east side. So she's not anywhere near where her car is supposed to be, right? Or correct. Where her car was, not where it's supposed to be. Despite all of her injuries and the fact that she had many stab wounds that could have been fatal, her autopsy revealed that her cause of death had been suffocation. So she had multiple stab wounds that could have been fatal, but that's not what caused her to die.
So were the stab wounds with the stick?
No.
Okay.
The stick was...
lodged in her neck.
Just lodged in her neck.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right.
A man named George Abney was arrested for Sarah's murder about 2.5 months later on September 1st.
I do think I've heard that name before.
Well, police stated that they did have evidence tying the man to the murder, but they wouldn't say what. They wouldn't even confirm if Abney had confessed to the murder, but did confirm that there were other suspects, but they felt like he was the one.
So I have to ask a question,
okay.
And I apologize, but I know on, so first of all, is this Native American land?
No.
It's not. Okay. And the reason I ask, because so she's Native American.
Yes. I know where you're going with this.
Right. So is this the regular police or is this the Native American
police? This is the regular police.
Because so they haven't brought the Native American police in yet?
Because it's not on Native American land.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep. That's why I asked. Okay. Because I do know that there are some like jurisdictional... things there.
The local police, and we'll get into this in a minute, but the local police can't do anything on their land. The tribal laws supersede.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But they did, either way, they arrested George Abney, who was actually a former English professor at Northern Arizona University. He taught freshman composition class for 3 years. And that was shortly after he received his master's degree from the same university. So he went to Northern Arizona University, got his master's degree, and then started teaching there. The head of the English department described George the student and George the teacher. He said George, as a student, took his work very seriously. As a teacher, though, he was pretty conscientious. So, like...
Like self-conscious?
No, or, like he knew that even though when he was a student, he took his work very seriously. He was aware of the fact that maybe not every student would. He's teaching a composition class. That's a class you have to take.
Right. But I think every teacher on some level is that way, but...
Well, you would... Apparently he was more so, and it was very... His George the teacher and George the student were very different.
Gotcha. Okay.
But like not in a bad way.
Well, no. I mean, I think it's good to understand that, yes, while you may have a passion for this.
Right.
A lot of these students are coming through. They're like, oh, we've taken English since we were like 5.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever.
And now I have to take another fucking composition class.
I've got 12 years of English and now I'm mm-hmm. in college and still taking fucking English, which I still think is stupid. But because, I mean, if you can't get through English... by the time you graduated high school, then you don't give a shit about English, right? So why keep pushing it down people's throats, okay?
And there you have it.
And that's my opinion.
So now that we've gotten your opinion out of the way, it was also known that George was a very quiet man.
Okay.
And the department and the university, they were all shocked that he was charged with this woman's murder. A former student of George's was later interviewed, and he described George as a decent, above-average teacher, but a little odd.
I mean, I don't feel like that's that bad, right? You got some odd teachers out there, but, you know.
Well, and I don't even think this student thought anything of it, because for him, what was odd about George is that he was telling stories of his childhood to the classes and was telling them that he was losing his hearing.
Life experience, whatever.
Right. So I don't even think the guy really
did anything real weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, at the time of Sarah's murder, George actually was no longer teaching. He had retired, I think. And he was working at the local Ramada Inn. Now, George's manager at the inn would not comment on George's character, but a fellow employee who remained anonymous said that George did seem a little bit strange. So, similar to what the former student said. But this coworker was also pretty surprised when he was charged with Sarah's murder.
So, like, he's a little odd, but he doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
Right. Now, this coworker did say that even though she was surprised by the allegations, once she saw what they had, she couldn't decide if she thought he did it or not.
Okay.
But George had an alibi. An unnamed friend, who was scared for his safety for some reason, went to the police and told the police that George had been with him and another friend at the time of Sarah's murder. According to this unnamed friend, the police never believed him, brushed him off, told him he was lying, and didn't put any stake into what he was telling them.
Well, I'm gonna be honest, that sounds kind of weird. Like, why would you be an alibi but be afraid for your safety?
Well, I don't think I don't think he was afraid of George.
Oh, okay, okay.
He was just afraid
in general.
Okay. In general.
Gotcha.
But he basically said the police never even gave him the time of day. Now, it did come out later that George had been having some terrifying dreams about Sarah's murder, and he was having a difficult time determining what was a dream and what was reality. And under pressure, despite his alibi, he confessed to the murder because he didn't know what was real and what wasn't. George Abney did go to trial, and he probably had one of the strangest defenses I've ever heard of.
Interesting.
So George was known to be very religious, and he said that he was getting instructions from God, which, let's be honest, that's not that strange. We hear that as a defense all the time.
It's common in, like, paranoid schizophrenics and things like that, yeah.
But it wasn't George, it was his lawyers that introduced the idea that Sarah was probably killed by a skinwalker rather than George.
What?
Yes.
That was the defense?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm listening.
The lawyers used the stick we talked about?
Yeah.
That was left in her? And the graveyard
dirt. Graveyard dirt, yeah, okay.
As evidence of some sort of black magic being involved.
Okay, so two questions.
Mm-hmm.
A, I'm assuming in this case he was not tried, again, because this did not happen on native land. I'm assuming he was tried in a in a U.S. court of law.
Correct.
Right? But I will say, I mean, in an area where the belief system is that could be a real possibility, and I'm not saying it's not or that it is, I'm just saying that if that's the belief system there, I can see how that could be
a way to legitimate
defense. But I'm just, yeah, okay.
Well, I will jump ahead. Sarah's family does not believe that George killed her. They believe that it was a skinwalker.
Okay, see, that it basically is exactly what I'm saying. Yep. If that is a predominant belief system there, then I can see how that's a defense, totally.
Yeah, and like I said, they don't believe George did it.
Well, and the lawyers obviously knew this because they were like, they're the ones presenting it, yeah right?
Well, and George didn't try to say it was a skinwalker, right?
He just wanted to say it wasn't him. Right. Yeah, right.
Or no, he was saying he was being commanded by God. So he went like the expected.
So he's confessing and then saying God made him do right. it. And they're like, it wasn't him. He's crazy. But you have to remember,
he was pressured when he confessed.
That is a weird case. Okay, yeah, continue.
He was all pressured right. when he confessed, so he may have been confessing just. You see false confessions all the time.
People confess. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I will say a lot of the times, and I'm not saying that people with high IQs don't falsely confess, but a lot of the times you have issues where people with a lower IQ will confess to a crime. This guy obviously had a higher IQ as a teacher, but you know, it sounds like he may have actually had something,
or he may have been making an excuse just because he felt pressured,
or he did it, or he didn't do it. I don't know, but I'm just saying.
Now, prosecutors, remember I said it looked like her left breast had been bitten off?
Yeah.
Prosecutors claimed that the bite marks on Sarah did match George's teeth.
The prosecutors said that?
Yes.
So they took dental molds and all that?
Yes. But what we have learned real recently, you learned this.
Oh, yes. I did find this out. Can I do it? Can I do it?
You can do it, but this is where how I found it out. So you go ahead.
Yeah, and you'll have to fill in the date, but I was researching something else and found out that apparently bite mark evidence has been pretty much exclusively debunked across the board, and it's not considered a forensic science at all anymore.
So they do still use it in the court system, but it's very much like a lie detector.
It's like a guide. Useless. Yeah,
it's like a guide, but even though...
But like lie detectors are not even admissible in court anymore.
No, but police will still use a lie detector to try to focus in on their...
That's why innocent or guilty, I would never take a lie detector.
Ever.
I would never... Yeah. Even if I was innocent, I would never take a lie detector, ever.
Well, and so they're basically comparing... The
bite marks.
Odontology?
Odontology. Forensic odontology.
Odontology to...
Really, yeah.
To the lie detector. So, you know, I think that was the one piece of evidence the prosecutor had.
Oh, that's all they... Is that all they had?
Yeah. They didn't have a lot to pin it on him. And like I said... Sarah's own family believes in George's innocence.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to give you just a little bit of history of the Skinwalker. And I'm really going to fuck this word up.
Okay.
But in the Navajo language, a Skinwalker is called a Yenolduski.
Spell it.
Yenolduski.
Okay, yeah. So if you Google it, I'm sure somebody will pronounce it correctly. We're going to fuck it up. Sorry.
But basically, that Navajo word translates into he who goes on all fours. The belief is that the skinwalker practices witchcraft and wears the skins of various animals. Some of the animals, like you said, include coyotes, wolves, dogs, but they can also include bears, owls, and crows.
I would totally do the bear. I'm pro bear. The bear is my spirit animal.
Oh, we're not getting into that argument again.
Just saying.
Some Navajo believe that not only do the skinwalkers wear the skins of the animal, but they become the animals.
Oh, so a skinwalker could just be a person who puts the skin on and walks on all fours and doesn't necessarily transform, but they believe that they can, or some do.
Right.
Okay, that is a differentiation I did not know, so that's new information.
Now, the Navajo do not consider witches or witchcraft or skinwalkers paranormal like we would.
Right.
To them, it's just a normal part of their lives and culture. They exist alongside human beings, which is skinwalkers, all those things.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, and I think it depends on the Native American culture. I don't know if it's across the board, but some of them also believe in star people, like aliens and things like that.
Yeah.
I am actually very open to a lot of that. You know, I'm pro-alien, too. Pro-bear, pro-alien.
Well, I'm pro-skinwalker.
So pro-skinwalker, yeah, I'm down, yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
So, there have been lots, and I did not take these notes exactly, but there have been lots of modern-day sightings of skinwalkers, especially in, like, the New Mexico Arizona area. And the biggest thing that is known about them is that they are said to run super quickly, like faster than a car. And in modern times, it seems like they try to race the cars, and they'll run up while you're driving, tap on your window because they're running just as fast as your car's going on the freaking highway. And then when you look, they disappear.
Yeah.
It's like, to some people, it seems like the skinwalkers are just out there to torture modern day motorists.
Just fucking with people. Yeah. Yeah.
And people who have witnessed the skinwalker describe not only their speed, but the noises they make. And they describe it as a screeching laughter.
See, but what you just described to me, like, it almost makes it sound like the skinwalkers that are out there are a bunch of drunk college students. Don't spit your drink out. But you get what I'm saying? Like,
I absolutely do.
Like, we can do this. We have this ability. So why not go fuck with people and, you know, maybe have a few brewskis along the way? Like,
well, and there's nothing to say a skinwalker won't have a brewski with you.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
So other than that information I just gave you, there's not a lot known about the legend of the skinwalker. And this is because Navajos won't talk about it. It's actually forbidden for them to talk about it. Because they believe if you talk about the skinwalker, it will attract the skinwalker to you and fuck you up, basically. The skinwalker is not only believed to be very fast, but it will harm livestock, it will rob graves, and even murder people.
Well, that would explain the grave dirt.
Exactly. And the little information that we do know about skinwalkers actually comes from younger children or college-age Navajos, because they're going to...
because they're drinking brewskis, turning into werewolves, and then running up to cars and knocking on the windows and fucking with people.
So they're speaking from their own experience.
That was a joke. Sorry. Probably a bad joke, but it just felt right in that moment. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
There was a Navajo spokesperson that stated that no modern-day police force could protect you from the skinwalker.
Believe that.
Yeah.
I actually believe it.
For yeah. Sure.
And I'm not saying they're real. I'm not saying they're not. But I'll just say, if it's a thing, I believe that.
So, somehow I skipped this. Sorry. But George was obviously acquitted. He's not...
he's so not a part of the equation anymore.
Yeah, he's gone. He was acquitted.
And because the only evidence they had was the bite marks.
Right.
That wasn't good enough. The family didn't think he did it.
Well, I mean,
obviously, we're in a community where this is a solid belief. And they're like, yeah, this is a logical and I'm not saying it's illogical. I'm just saying this is the logical explanation. And it obviously wasn't this guy. So he got off, right?
Yep. Okay. He got off. And I mean, in 1987, the dental work was absolutely like top of the line science.
I guess here's my question to all of this. So how do they know that he's not the skinwalker? Is it because he's a white dude?
The jury found him not guilty.
Well, right. Okay. But all I'm saying is, I mean, could it be possible that he's the skinwalker?
No.
No, just because of the jury?
Because he's a white dude.
Because he's a white dude.
He doesn't have any Navajo beliefs. He's a religious Christian.
Okay, and that's what I was, that's why I was double checking. That's why I was double checking. I just wanted to make sure.
So, this is, you segued me into my next paragraph.
You're welcome.
Yeah. To become a skinwalker, it's believed that you have to be initiated by a secret society of skinwalkers. And the way you secure your spot is to kill a close family member.
Oh. Okay, so that's with the black magic, darkness. Yeah,
so
okay.
If this is the belief, why would George kill Sarah? They're not family members. He doesn't know her.
Well, so unless he was already a skinwalker, but obviously it's not likely that he would have been initiated to begin with. So, yes, right. I get what you're saying.
Exactly. So it's believed somewhat that someone unknown in Sarah's family was being initiated into that society, and that she fell victim because somebody in her family was being initiated.
That explains. Okay. That makes sense, actually.
It's also believed that you should never show a skinwalker that you're afraid, because if they sense your fear, they are sure to kill you. But if you stand up to them, you'll be safe.
Possibly.
But well, this is their belief.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that belief system is, I mean, you even hear that with just handling normal animals. Like, animals can sense fear.
You hear that with handling normal people.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there is this belief that animals and yes, some people can just instinctively sense fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't show it, then they won't attack or...
Right.
And I think, especially when you talk about people, I think there's some truth to that, because people have a tendency to prey on those they feel are more weak. So if you don't show fear, then you're not showing that weakness, and therefore you're less likely to be attacked.
Well, let's be honest, we're animals too.
We are animals. We are mammals. But
combine...
You and me, baby. We're mammals.
Da, 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 oh, da, I can't remember the words.
You were dancing.
Well, I know, because it's right there in my head.
Yeah.
You and me, baby.
Yeah, okay, that's good. We'll get copyrighted. Okay.
I've sang way more of a song than what I did then. And so have you, boo.
I have.
But think about combining human nature with animal nature and all of the spiritual beliefs. A skinwalker, I would have a hard time hiding my fear from a skinwalker.
Well, and so to tack onto that, from what I understand of skinwalkers, and I don't know if this came up in your research, but from what I understand, they don't necessarily look like animals, but they don't necessarily look like humans. They almost look like some mangled, weird hybrid. And so they look gnarly, kind of, is my understanding.
So I would agree with you, but not from my research. From my research, it made it sound like there's this whole transition thing. But I think for us, not being Native American, what you just said is probably the best description.
Well, and I think, like, in the Native American culture, like, if you saw a skinwalker, you would be able to recognize it, because it wouldn't look like a coyote. It would like have maybe just a little longer appendages and just look a little different.
Well, and that's funny, because that's what I was about to ask. Like, they say, don't show a skinwalker your fear.
How do you know if it's a skinwalker?
That's exactly what I was going to ask, because we wouldn't know.
Right. So, and again, this is just from, you know, documentaries and things that, you know, because I'm into that kind of stuff. Everything that I've seen is there is a physical obvious difference. So yes, you should be able to, you know, make that differentiation. But as an individual who's maybe not so acquainted with the culture or the lore or
we're not Native American,
right? Like, I mean, I feel like I've seen enough. Like, if I was in Arizona and I rolled up on some gnarly looking dog, I'd be like, no, I'm going to get out of here, but I'm not going to look. I'm not going to show fear, right? Like, I'm going to back out. I'm going to stare him down, but I'm going to back out real slow.
I mean, you have some fucking balls, because I've taken all kinds of classes on all this shit, and I wouldn't be able to tell.
Well, I'm not guaranteeing that I could. I just feel like I might.
Mike's just going to be in the desert and see a dog and be like, what?
And be like, let's go, motherfucker.
I'm not going to show you my fear.
And then you'll come ID my body, because it ripped my throat out. So anyway.
So.
And I just want to point this out. Like, I love Native American culture.
Oh, it's one of my favorite. I grew up.
Oh, yeah. Both of her parents are both from Arizona, the Phoenix area, right?
So my dad's not, but they lived there for a very, very long time.
Your dad's from Indiana, but your dad has like a collection.
My dad's definitely more into it than my mom.
Oh yeah.
And he understands Kachinas and Navajo and.
Exactly. So we are, you know, obviously we are a true crime, comedy true crime podcast, but we don't mean to be disrespectful.
No, we have a Kachina downstairs protecting us.
We do. Absolutely.
We do. Cause sometimes you need a Kachina to protect you.
Yep.
So, like I said, if you stand up to the skinwalker, you're going to be safe, if you can determine that it's a skinwalker. Additionally, according to Navajo law, if you believe that somebody is a skinwalker, you can kill them. And they will be killed. If you think they're a skinwalker, they're going to die. And local police cannot stop these, quote, murders because it's a part of the Navajo tribal laws and cultural beliefs, which we were talking about earlier. So their laws and beliefs supersede.
So I actually agree with that.
I do too.
I guess my question there is there a like burden of proof? Like, do you have to have any kind of evidence or do you just...
No, because you don't go to court in...
So I could just be like, yo, I think my neighbor's a skinwalker. Blah.
Well, if you're a Navajo...
Okay, that's why I asked. I don't know.
Like, no, if you said that Angie was a skinwalker and killed her, no, you wouldn't.
Well, yeah, I'm not... No, I'm not talking... No. Not talking about here. What I'm saying is, like, on tribal land, yes, it makes sense that, you know, that is the law and those are the way things go. But I'm curious if there... You have to have... some burden of proof other than like being able to, I mean, cause I don't think it happens, but I almost wonder like if you could be like, my neighbor's pissing me off. I guess he's a skinwalker. Blah. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
I get what you're going for with that, but I don't feel like Native Americans do that. I think that's a European.
I get what you're saying. It's just it's a thought. It's a question.
No. And it's a legitimate question, but I don't feel like that's a thing.
Yeah.
So, like I said, George was acquitted. And so, to this day, Sarah's murder case is still open.
Oh, this is an unsolved, huh?
Yeah, George got acquitted. Her family believes it was a skinwalker, which I'm not saying it wasn't. But let's be honest, the state government that's not Native American is not going to believe that.
Right.
So her case is still open and Coconino County Cold Case Unit is still investigating it. It's one of the first they started investigating when they opened in 2005. So if you have any information about Sarah's case, they want you to contact them at either 928-226-5033 or 928-774-4523. But yeah, it's officially unsolved. But I believe her family has solved it in their mind.
Fair enough. Fair enough. This is an interesting one.
It's a little different, right?
It was very different. It was very different. And I like it. I like the kind of lore and history and culture behind all of it. And I don't, and when I say lore, I don't mean to be disrespectful. You know, we all have belief systems, but no, I love this case. I mean, other than it, why, I guess really the thing that gets me is why would just some rando roll up, beat and kill this woman for no reason?
Well, and I think,
and if she, I mean, she got attacked while she was leaving, right?
Right. And she was drugged to the opposite side of the...
All the way around the hospital or center or whatever. Yes. And it doesn't matter how big it is. I mean, that's a fair...
No, it was a pretty big distance. Yeah, it was a pretty big distance.
To drag an individual.
She was like on a cliff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's a little odd. And then, you know, the graveyard dirt. And I mean, I will say it is possible that somebody who lives in that area and understands that that's a cultural belief just went and got some graveyard dirt and took advantage of it, threw it down and was like, yeah, you know, and made it look that way to take advantage of the belief systems. I'm not saying that's what I think happened. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Well, I will say whenever you see somebody actually be acquitted, it actually gives me more faith in the justice system than when somebody is convicted. Because even though you're innocent until proven guilty, I think, let's be real honest, when you go into the courtroom, most people have already found you guilty and your defense lawyer has to prove you innocent.
That's absolutely how the justice system works these days. It's not supposed to work that way. But, you know, I think we as a society have just come to the point where we just assume guilt before we've heard any evidence. Right. Although, I mean, now granted, I've never been on a murder trial, but I one time sat on a jury and we found the individual not guilty because the evidence sucked. But yeah, I mean, it's weird.
But I think the one thing that makes me happy?
Question mark?
In this case is that even though George Abney was acquitted, Sarah's family does not feel like that was an injustice.
I get what,
what I'm saying? Like, they didn't believe he did it.
Him getting off wasn't an injustice. Yes, right. I absolutely get what you're saying. And, I mean, it doesn't negate the pain of losing a loved one.
No, not at all.
I think, from what you're telling me, they at least feel like they know what happened. Right. And that they have some sort of
closure, I guess. Yeah, and yeah. I think they wouldn't have wanted somebody who wasn't... I mean, not that anybody would, but they wouldn't have wanted somebody who was not responsible to be convicted and sentenced to whatever. I don't know what Arizona
does. What it sounds like to me, for sure.
And it doesn't really sound like they had a whole lot of evidence against George. He was just like an easy one to pin it on.
Could be. I mean, the one thing I will say is ultimately, and I don't feel like we say this enough, but, you know, our hearts are with the victim and the families and all of this. And I don't feel like we say that enough, but, you know, it's a sad story, but it's a very interesting story as
but
well.
But my heart and mind is also with people who get wrongly accused.
Yeah, I mean, assuming that's the case here, and I'm not saying it is or isn't.
Well, I'm not even talking about him. I'm talking about the guy you talked about.
Which one?
Oh, God, I can't remember his name, but the one who supposedly killed his wife and his two kids, and he was in jail for, like, 15 years.
It was a case I did?
Yeah. It was a two-parter.
I've drank since then.
It was a two-parter.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But he got acquitted, like, 20 years... Not acquitted. They overturned...
Yeah.
The Hendrix murders.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Hendrix murders. Okay, yeah.
But there's a lot more innocent people convicted than we know about.
I agree. But I don't want to go off on a huge...
No, because I'm I'm totally for the death penalty, 100%. If you really did it,
yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, that's the caveat.
And if you can't prove it,
well, and there's a saying, and I can't remember it word for word, but it goes, and I'm gonna butcher it, but there's something like 10. It's better that 10 innocent men go free than like one be convicted or suffer or something like that. I don't remember exactly, right. But you know, I mean, that's kind of the idea is that's the justice, right? That's where it's innocent until proven guilty. So anyway, all that being said, we'll get off that. We love you guys. We want to thank you guys yet again for joining us. If you're in the area, we'll be at Rollertown Brewing Company this weekend coming up. So
Thursday.
Sorry, I keep fucking that up. Yeah. So Thursday the 27th, if you're in the area, come out, check us out. We'd love to see you. If you're not in the area, we'll put that out for you guys once we get it all recorded.
Oh, well, the editor is going to be there.
The editor is going to be there. So yeah, we'll try to get it out on Facebook Live. And then what else? Oh, join us on Patreon.
Y'all.
We are actually making the editor do that this week. So we got to do, we're starting our new series.
Our first
series.
It's already recorded. It just has to be edited. It's been recorded for like 2 weeks now.
Yep. So those are coming out real soon. Probably within, I think we'll try to get one out maybe early next week.
No, I'm going to make him edit tomorrow before he goes into work.
There you go. So coming soon. So check that out. So lots of exciting things. But that being said, we love you guys and we will check you next time.
We love you all.
Laters.
Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.